Congress returns this week from its August recess. Before the end of the month, members will have to deal with an expiring law that attempts to address disparities in health insurance coverage for mental illness, NPR's Julie Rovner reports.
Lisa Cohen is a living example of the way health insurance treats mental and physical illnesses differently. In 1988, severe depression forced her to drop out of college. In the course of treatment for what turned out to be bipolar disorder, doctors discovered she also suffered from a serious blood disease called idiopathic thrombocythemia. In many ways, she says the ailments are similar.
Both require me to take medication, see the doctor regularly, and both of them are pretty serious disorders in that they can be fatal.
But Cohen's health insurance company didn't see it that way. Her insurance provided much more generous coverage for her blood ailment than for her mental illness.
For example, to see the psychiatrist, there were a limit on the number of visits I could see the psychiatrist per year. There were absolutely no limits on the number of times I can see the hematologist.
Cohen's health insurance company also limited hospital care for her mental illness. At one point, she exceeded her 30-day limit, and the insurance company made her check out.
You can imagine if you were having surgery and, you know, they cut you open, they said, oh, that's it. You know, we can't stitch you up. You have to leave.
Cohen didn't think that was fair, and neither did Congress. So in 1996, it passed the Mental Health Parity Act. That law prohibits insurers from placing lower dollar limits on mental health coverage than on other care. So if a plan covers $100,000 worth of medical or surgical benefits a year, it would also have to cover $100,000 worth of mental health care. The law wasn't everything mental health advocates wanted, but Howard Goldman, a professor of psychiatry at the University of Maryland, says it was an important first step.
It was an enormous rhetorical victory. It made a very strong statement that things are changing with respect to the treatment of mental illness and that we need to be cognizant of making the playing field level, reducing discriminatory practices.
Still, Goldman says, the law hasn't changed things very much.
It was limited in its impact because it didn't focus on the full range of limitations in coverage policy. It only focused on annual and lifetime limits. They're important, but they leave out quite a bit of the problems in coverage.
For example, many health plans evaded the law by limiting hospital days or outpatient visits instead of dollars. Other plans made co-payments or deductibles higher for mental health services than for other services. Lawmakers also excluded small businesses, didn't extend parity to substance abuse services, and set the law to expire on September 30, 2001. Congress now has three choices. It can let the law expire, it can renew the law, or it can pass a bill requiring full parity for mental health and substance abuse. Andrew Sperling is with the National Alliance for the Mentally Ill. He says that enough has changed in the past 5 years to justify the broader requirement.
We've learned that there is a biological basis. We've learned that there are treatments that are effective as those that exist for heart disease or diabetes, and that there's no scientific or medical justification for health plans to cover treatment for these illnesses on different terms.
But businesses disagree. They didn't like the 1996 law, and they don't like the broader bill. James Klein is president of the American Benefits Council, which represents mostly large corporations.
I think the business community in general always has concerns with Congress mandating benefits because companies feel that they're better equipped to negotiate benefits directly with their workers.
Klein acknowledges that the law has cost far less than anyone thought it would. That's thanks in large part to the rise of companies that manage mental health care the way HMOs manage other care. But Klein says that even a small increase would be too much for most businesses at a time when health costs are already rising rapidly.
The latest reports are that premiums are going up by 15%. This mandate is being considered at the time that Congress is considering and will likely pass a patient's bill of rights, which is going to increase the cost of health care coverage by another several percent. So it's the cumulative effect of this.
Lisa Cohen says she has financial worries of her own as she manages her mental and physical conditions. She says her current coverage for her bipolar disorder is minimal, and she's not sure what she would do if she needs to be hospitalized again.
It's just a scary thing to worry about. Well, you know, I may or may not have the coverage if I need it. And, you know, it's not something that you really want to have to think about.
It's likely Congress will pass the new bill giving full parity to mental health coverage, but it's not clear President Bush will sign it. As governor of Texas, he signed a mental health parity bill with considerable fanfare. He hasn't said how he feels about a federal version. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.